Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ and alongside me is Schwenty. How are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
This week we finally are able to talk about NCAA Football 12, gameplay and presentation, able to give our own personal hands-on thoughts as it came out that since January, since the night of the BCS National Championship game between Auburn and Oregon, EA Sports and the NCAA Football Development Team have held four different community events. That's a big change from the past. I remember back to the 08-09 days, these events were held so late in the development cycle that the feedback really wasn't beneficial to the game, maybe somewhat for patches or updates, but now they're having people come in as early as January, which is extremely early. Last year, we thought it was early with the March event. This year, January, one a month, January, February, March, and April, four events. Tommy, real quickly, talk about the NCAA football team, how they've engaged the community. They've done it on forums, asking for feedback directly as it relates to presentation. They do it by going through forums and wish list items, but they also do it with community events. How has this helped the game, in your opinion?
It's helped it quite a bit. I mean, like you mentioned, not only is this one even earlier than before, but as well the size of the group. I mean, before they'd have like 8 or 9 guys or whatever, but this year that size is actually doubled. So, I mean, the varying size of different opinions from different guys focus on different things in the game, things like that. I mean, basically EA is really going to an extreme to get as many opinions as they can and get as much information from the community as they can. Really have to say bravo to EA just because they really are trying to get a focus on what everybody in the community wants to see from the game.
And that's the thing with the guys who are down there. While everybody may have their own little area of expertise, as you call it, there is also a lot of just general, what is the community going to say or think when they see this? What in this, maybe an interface, what would be more beneficial to the community at large? Obviously gameplay stuff, etc. And a lot of the credit, I think, has to go to previous community manager Will Kinsler, Rackzilla, and also now current community manager Justin Duell. But let's get right into our thoughts on gameplay and presentation. Basically, we can talk about anything you see in a play now game. So we can't talk about anything external. We can't talk about Dynasty. We can't talk about that stuff. If you want to read our full preview, head over to thegamingtailgate.com and you'll see our NCAA Football 12 preview where we break down the gameplay improvements, presentation upgrades, and also click on the blogs tab on the top of the website. You can find thoughts from OneBack, Quizzy, and Pocket 10. They were at these events. They share some of their thoughts about the game improvements and just their experience of being at a community event and heading down to EA Sports. The two big gameplay upgrades are improved zone coverages and an enhanced tackle and collision system. Tommy, let's talk about improved zone coverages. How much does this help the game in your opinion? Because it was one of, if not the biggest, gameplay request from the community last year.
You're right. It was probably one of the biggest complaints as far as NCAA 11 and even going back further, that zones, guys drop to a spot and they basically stayed in that spot. Whereas now guys will drop to their zone, but as guys enter or leave their zone, they'll adjust to that. And you can actually see in video footage of guys passing off from one defender to the next to basically say that, hey, he's coming into your zone. You need to look out for him. That's going to be really big just because in years past, most people stuck to just calling man coverage defense. So now you've got more variables. You've got zone blitzes. You've got cover six zones. You've got all sorts of new play calls that you can utilize that really take advantage of this new zone coverage. And as well, you can always come back to the man coverage and kind of mix and match it how you want to.
The other big addition that they've talked about so far is an enhanced tackle and collision system. Along with that, developer Mike Scannerbury had posted part one of a two-part blog, and a lot of his stuff talks about tackles and collision system. There's no more suction on tackles. Momentum plays a factor on tackles. There's a tackle button now. The dive has been removed. The dive is the square button, or X on 360 is a tackle button to help you reach out for the tackle. No more suction on blocks. Tommy, I'll let you talk about how much has this changed the game in your opinion, this enhanced tackle and collision system.
It's quite a bit. Number one, the tackling, you have more control as to kind of lay into the middle of the body of the guy if you want, instead of, in years past, you'd kind of suction onto him, so you didn't have as much control as to what part of his body you were targeting or anything like that. As well, it, like we mentioned in a previous podcast, granted we were already aware of it, but we didn't want to lead you guys on too much. But for those guys that big hit every time, you're going to miss a whole lot more just because it does not engage the tackle until you actually make contact with them. So if you do the big hit and the guy just avoids it, then you're not going to automatically warp onto him now. And then as well, like you mentioned in the blocking, again, guys aren't going to engage until they actually make contact with each other. So granted, it's not the exact defensive end rush that people are wanting to see, but there is more possibility of avoiding those blockers altogether so that you don't get engaged to a guy that you don't want to if you can avoid him.
But I'm one of those guys that you talked about. I like to use the big hit, the hit stick almost every time. Playing down at EA against people, I had some success with it, but you're right. All it took was two or three times where I missed and they got by me, and that really could change the outcome of a game. And that's much like real life, where if a player is aggressive on defense, always going for the big hit, you know, they might wrap up, they might get the hit more often than not, but it's only going to take one or two or three missed tackles to completely change the complexion of the game. Also new are double hit tackles. Tommy, I'll let you talk about this. This was something that visually, I think, adds a lot to the game.
Agreed. I mean, in the past, we got ProTac, which was basically the ability for multiple people to make tackles. But as a lot of people saw, it was more or less kind of scrum tackling, to where, you know, guys would kind of latch on to the tackle and eventually the ball carrier would go down. But now instead, it's actually two guys can collide to make tackles, and a matter of one guy can hold up another one and the other one come in and clear it through. There's no longer the fact of guys being stuck into an animation and therefore you not being able to tackle him. Instead, you will be able to knock him down. If he's stumbling down, you'll be able to latch onto him and drive him into the dirt or whatever. And then as well, if a guy is, again, wrapped up, you can knock him backwards so that he can't get that extra yard to pick up the first down or whatever. So it really is an added bonus, not only for gameplay, but for aesthetics as well. I mean, some of the hits we saw down while we were down there, it really did make a big difference visually just to see guys basically getting laid out from that second defender.
We're also able to talk about presentation in the game. This year, a lot of presentation upgrades. We know about the visual upgrades that Gene Adams, the art director, has talked about in a previous video blog. But I do have to say, overall, before we get into presentation, that Gene, the art director, Greg Heddleston, who works on presentation, and that entire team deserves a lot of credit for how far this game has come in a few years. If you go back to 08 or 09 and look at how NC football, how the game started, there was no pregame whatsoever. You were kicked straight to the coin toss. There were no real celebration stuff, nothing of the sort. And look where it's at now. It's gone a long ways. And obviously with college football, there's so much pageantry and passion that there's still long ways they can go, which is the beauty of the sport. But let's get into some of the presentation stuff. We know the visuals. We know about more team entrances that we knew about last week a little bit. But also some things came out this week that maybe we haven't talked about or hadn't heard about. Some of them including stadium and crowd noise. What EA has done this year is they've got an improved crowd audio. Tommy, I'll let you talk about this. You're a fan of a smaller school. How is this going to factor in when you're going from playing at, say, Arkansas State versus Ohio State?
Basically, what they've done this year for just simply the different sound files is they actually went to different size stadiums to capture different fan reactions. So, you know, for the smaller schools like the Arkansas States and of that nature, you might hear sound that they actually captured at a Florida Atlantic game or something like that. And then for an Alabama game, maybe they captured it at Florida. Honestly, I don't know exactly where they went to capture these, but they captured it at a large stadium. So a large stadium in the game is going to hear the sound of a large stadium crowd. And again, small stadium crowd is going to be reflective in a small stadium. It really does make a difference, not only just to hear them, but then add to that the fact that they made the crowd amp up at the right time this year. So, like I mentioned on our forums, I noticed in one section where there was a hole. I was the running back. There was a hole in front of me, and I hit the hole. And about the time I hit the hole, the crowd reacted to that. Not the fact that I was in the open field, but the fact that I had hit the hole and I had open field in front of me. So it's one of those things that instead of being reactive, they're more proactive as to how they're coming together as a loud crowd.
One thing we saw in the sizzle video, some it alluded to, was that there's more ESPN wipes in terms of conference graphics going across the screen. If you're playing in a Pac-12 game, for example, you'll have before and after replays the Pac-12 wipe. Obviously, for Big 12, it'd be specific for that conference. The sizzle video also showed us more celebration animations in that video, as it relates to USC, the quarterback celebrating and the players with him. Also in the game, that there hasn't been a lot discussed about this, so I think it's good that we mention this, is that there's game track and montages. Game track occurs after the opening kickoff of the third quarter. What happens is Brad Nessler will then toss it down to Erin Andrews on the field, and as she's giving an update from the coaches or an update on the game, they'll be showing some of the big plays of the day. Then it'll go back up to Brad in the studio. That is definitively always after the opening kickoff of the third quarter. Montages, now they may be labeled as a game track, I'm not sure. I have not seen the wipe attached to that. But montages basically will kick in when a player or a team is having a standout day, positively or negatively. What will happen is then Brad and Kirk will talk about the player or team, what's going on. And at that time, you'll also get replays of certain plays as it relates to what they're talking about. So the highlights this year will not only be, you know, game track is defined at a certain moment, but the montages could happen at any point in the game. When something big has happened, something bad has happened routinely, we'll get the montage.
To add to that, as we previously mentioned in another podcast, at the end of each of the first and the third quarter, you'll actually see an ESPN graphic come up, and then behind that, you'll actually see replays of some of your important plays of the game, some of your team celebrating, you know, some of the other opposing team getting down, if that's the case, you know, that's applied, things like that, to where it basically kind of, it brings you back into that broadcast feel to where you actually see, just like on a real ESPN broadcast, you see them showing important plays that have happened and reactions from the fans and things like that. So it's actually a really nice addition to where, again, it brings you back into that broadcast feel.
Also, what they've done with presentation, a couple small additions that will go a long way, is they've put a goal on making players more aware when injuries occur. That was a knock on NCAA 11, that you may not have always known when an injury occurred until all of a sudden you're seeing on the screen he's injured, or they're asking you, do you want this player to come back in? And also, stat overlays. That's something that Greg has talked about with us at these community events. And Tommy, I'll let you talk about it real quick because you mentioned it on the forums, is that we'll see some of these stat overlays a little more often for players.
Right. It seems like in the past that they were targeted specifically for hitting, you know, kind of milestones for like 100 yards or a certain number of TDs or something like that. Whereas instead this year, they'll actually focus it to where seemingly a random number of like carries or completions or something like that, to where you'll see the guy has 12 carries. Well, he has 12 carries, but, you know, different guys might have 100 yards or another guy might have 10 yards or whatever. It's going to give you more of a feel as to what's actually happening instead of just simply highlighting those big day players.
Now, obviously, those are not the only upgrades or changes to NCAA Football 12. There's a lot more to come, and I'm really anxious to hear what the community has to say and think about these new features. However, we can't talk about them until EA Sports has announced them. So I will say, if you didn't care about the gameplay much or the presentation much, just stay tuned. There's more to come before the game releases on July 12th. At thegamingtailgate.com, we have a poll up we created yesterday. Nearly 50 of you have already responded. We want to know, of the announced or confirmed features, which one are you looking forward to most? Now, one item on that list is custom playbooks. This is not something that EA formally came out and announced. However, Operation Sports, ESPN Video Games, and GamePro were able to put out in their previews custom playbooks. I'm guessing they weren't supposed to say it. There's probably a lack of communication somewhere. So it came out. EA Sports came out and said, yes, we can confirm custom playbooks are NCAA football. No further details at this time. They're also, and we knew this from the Madden 12 sizzle video, custom playbooks are in Madden 12, and they will work with your game plans and game flow. And also, no further details in that regard. So we know custom playbooks, one of the most anticipated features. It's leading our poll at this time right now. Alongside with it, up there near the top, the enhanced tackle and collision system, and also the improved zone defenses. Those three seem to be running away with this poll. Tommy, no surprise with those three leading.
Agreed. I think those are probably the ones that EA themselves knew would be the ones that would kind of drive this presentation and gameplay information, to where it's some of the things that people have been clamoring for over the past couple of years, to where now that they're in, people are going to run away with them.
With that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. But first, Tommy, as of April 25th, I can't believe how the time is flying by. As of April 25th, how many days are we away from the July 12th release of NCAA Football 12?
We now have 78 days remaining, so basically 2.5 months. Again, it was hard to have all of this information this week and then realize that you've got so much more time before the game's actually released. So still a lot more information to come out, so hopefully it'll kind of start to build up the anticipation even more.
For Tommy, this is Chris. Everyone, thank you for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. Check us out at gamingtailgate.com.